that your joy and your peace are here, your presence is here, Lord, in Jesus' name. We'd like everybody to simply stand, lift up your hand, just confess your sins, and just speak God's will back in here. If you've been through healing school and you know how to establish the kingdom of God, let's reestablish the kingdom of God here. If not, just pray that God's will be done and His presence be manifested for every person here. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, every person on the internet. We thank you, Father, for your anointing falling fresh upon each person. And your glory flowing from here to every internet location, to every internet church, in Jesus' name. Including Bishop George's church. We thank you for the glory flooding his church. And Pastor Donald's church. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the glory and anointing here flood each church and each internet location. See His glory, see His glory, see His glory come down. Praise His name, Jesus reigns, see His glory come down. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and your glory touching your people. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when God told Abraham he's going to have a kid, and Sarah laughed because she was so old and had never had a child and was beyond the years of having kids. And she laughed. And God said, why do you laugh? And I thought, how could she laugh at God? Anything is possible with God. How can you laugh at God? And I've often thought that. About 18 years ago, God said to me, son, you're going to lead praise and worship. And I laughed. Because I've been kicked out of the choir in high school when I was around 12 or 13. Of all, like 80 people gone up, he couldn't even hear me, I'm sure. And he points to me and says, Wong, you get out of here. You're a monotone. In front of all my friends. I only went because I wanted to be with my friends. And after that, I just never sang. Of course, I never sang before that either. Until God told me to sing. And I sang a couple of times in special situations, once overseas. And then, I don't remember how long ago, must have been shortly before or shortly after he told me I was going to lead praise and worship. I was in church and he said, son, that goal of faith you've been looking for, you've achieved it. You're now walking in that faith that was the goal for this period of your life. And I rejoiced. It was awesome. I had achieved that level of walking in faith that I desired for that period of my life. And I just started praising God, and a song just bubbled out of me. Song in English. I believe it was in English. Just bubbled out of me, and I'm singing. I just sung this quietly to God in this church. Must have been about 20 years ago. My wife is shaking her head. Wasn't that long ago? Well, seemed like a long time. What? You married men know what I'm saying here. My wife said, it wasn't that long ago. It was shortly after we were married. And so I said, well, seems like 20 years to me. And so I just rejoiced. And I sang this song quietly to myself. And this lady on the podium, she said, I have a word from the Lord. And the word is this. He just gave a song to a man here, and he wants the man to stand up and sing. Remember, I have not sung in public. I'm scared of speaking. I went through college. I never took a class in college where I had to speak in college. I want you to understand, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of you. I'm just using me as the example. So I went through all of college, never took a class where I had to speak in public, in a class. And then God called me to be a preacher. Never sung in a church, never sung in public, except for two very special, unusual things. And here is called me to sing out. And I thought, I understand exactly what's happening. He's saying, you've got the faith, now use it and sing. You all hearing me? You can't have faith without action. So he says, you got the faith, now use it. So I got up. It was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life. I got up and I sang the song he gave me. It was really hard. But you know what? It was the beginning of a journey that set me free. Here I'm standing today and singing before you. I don't care if you like it, if you don't like it. Because you know what? God loves it. God loves it. And the number one fear in this country is the fear of public speaking. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He says, I have not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear. You once were in bondage of fear. Bible says because of the fear of death. But when you became born again, you no longer were in bondage of fear. And the way you demonstrate you're not in bondage of fear is you do that which the devil is telling you that you're afraid to do. God says, I have not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Daddy. Do we all cry, Abba, Daddy?
Abba, Daddy.
Then we have no bondage to fear. For God is in you, and you can do all things, and all things are possible to you. You keep speaking it, and you keep forgiving others, and you keep walking in love, and your faith, powered by your love, will change everything in life. Is that true? I want one person to overcome their fear and come up here and say something. One person will save you all. But not Jesus. Jesus, you can't come up, Lord. You've done it already. Somebody else. Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael is going to save you all.
I have no idea what I'm going to say. But some of you know that I've had a challenge. And it's been a real strong challenge with me. And for speaking and even doing healing school and all of the modules that I teach, I have challenges. But, you know, God loves each and every one of us. And it says in Scripture, in Hebrews 11:6, it says that it's without faith no man can please God. You can't please him without faith. And then it goes on to say that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards you for seeking him. So go deeper into him. That's where we're all here, because we love him. We're seeking him. And that's what I desire. I desire to go deeper and deeper and deeper with him. And I just praise God for what he is doing in my life. And I know he told me to get up here. But you know what? It's all worth it, because he is an awesome God. And he loves us so much. And he desires everyone come to him. Everyone. Amen.
Very wonderful. Very wonderful. Thank you very much. Very well. There was a time in his life when Pastor Michael, before he was a pastor, was, shall we say, afraid, reluctant to answer the telephone because of the fear of public speaking. That's comparable to me spending 10 years in college and never taking a class where I had to speak in the class.
I just want to say that sometimes we think God is not changing us, but others see the change. And I have noticeably seen the change in Michael, especially in the last 2 months. And I want him to know that we, or at least I, see the change in him and what God is doing. And I want that to be an encouragement to him.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to give a short testimony. When I first was in Bible school at Rhema, and we had to get up, and I was actually a worship leader major in Bible college, and I had to get up and lead the whole choir, and I was so nervous that I forgot the song, even though I had practiced and everything, you know, and I knew it from heart and everything. But sometimes, you know, a challenge of fear can paralyze people, and that's how I was. And then after I graduated, then the church where I belonged, they invited me to preach at the Sunday school before the service started. And it was a great honor because they didn't ask just anybody. And I was all prepared and everything, and I'd practice and everything, and I get up there, and again, I like forgot what I was supposed to say, and I'm looking at my notes, and I'm just reading my notes, and I'm like stuck to the pulpit, you know, and then I hear these words, you know, in my mind saying, leave your notes and minister from your heart. And I went, I'm thinking, I can't do that. And so I wanted to be obedient to the Lord, so I just made a little step like that, but I was still reading my notes. And then finally, I was like this, and he said, you need to look at the people and what they need, that I've given you a message for them. And how many times has it been, this is all going through my head, you know, that you received from someone that was up sharing? And I said, lots of times. Oh, well, then why are you withholding their blessing? Because of your being scared of what? They were going to reject you, or that you won't do a good job? Why don't you just share what I put in your heart for them? Don't worry about what they're going to think about you. Just your whole premise of wanting to preach and teach is to help people grow. Yes. How many times have I grown because other people were bold enough to tell me something? Even things that were corrective. But they were bold enough to love me enough to correct me, because unaware sins, or otherwise I would keep doing them. And so when I moved away, and then I just started sharing what he put in my heart for them, the anointing was able to flow because fear was gone. And I was able to reach out to each person. And fear only comes in to stop you from being a blessing. So I had to repent of that and learn to be a blessing and allow God to use me, because that was my goal. I want to be blessed to bless. And so that helped me so much. And when I was young, I was like in a room. I wouldn't talk to anybody because I was so scared. Nobody knew I existed. That's how shy I was. But because I allowed God to use me more and more to be a blesser, now people are like, Karen, can you be quiet now? See how that works. So I'm learning moderation in my life too now, right? Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Karen. Now, I want you to fully understand in your heart and your mind that fear is just not a little sin that bothers you a little bit. Fear is the third word sin. Fear is the sin that opens the door for all other challenges in your life and empowers them. First sin we all committed, first sin committed by Adam, first sin committed by Eve, first sin committed by Satan, was pride. Second one was impatience. The third one was fear. You remember Adam and Eve, after they sinned by eating the fruit, they hid in fear. Fear then opens the door for every other external challenge. You need to confront fear, regardless of what the fear is. It's very easy to minister to others in the gifts of the Spirit. All it requires is that you believe the Bible, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then, which you do before, at the point in time when you minister in the nine gifts, all this requires is that you desire it and you have the boldness to declare it in advance. I'm going to lay hands on this person, and this person is going to get healed. Now, most of you probably know how to ride bicycles. If you're like me, the first few times you tried, you probably made a spectacle of yourself, and your friends and family probably giggled and laughed at you. Everything that we've learned and done, the first few times, we probably didn't master it. And people were laughing, we felt embarrassed. So it is with the things of God. If you don't conquer fear, fear will conquer you. If you don't conquer fear, fear will conquer you. God has not given you a spirit of fear. In fact, why don't you all say this after me? I am determined, to be led by the Spirit of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the adults in the family of God. I am an adult in the family of God. For God has not given me a spirit of bondage to fear, but a spirit of adoption, where I go to my Heavenly Father and I call Him Daddy. Abba Daddy.
Abba Daddy.
I can go boldly
onto
the throne of grace for mercy and help
in time of need.
For God is my Daddy. He loves me. I am the apple of His eyes. There is nothing He would not do for me. In fact, He's done it already. He sent His Son Jesus to die for me. That I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I have been given
everything I need
for life and godliness. Today and every day. So I declare, I do not have a spirit of fear,
nor
confusion,
but
I walk in a spirit of power,
and
a spirit of love,
and
I have a sound mind,
because in the name of Jesus,
I have the mind of Christ.
For when He was on the cross,
He was thinking of me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I guess after all that, I need some water. You ever see a pastor start a sermon with the water? First thing? You know that I could, normally now, I put a bottle of water up to my mouth, and I drink, and about half the bottle goes in. I just kind of pour in half the bottle. Now, when I was in college, we used to have these parties, beer parties. We'd get a keg of beer or more, and people would just chug along these great huge things of beer. You all know what I'm saying? I couldn't do it. I couldn't drink more than a mouthful at a time, maybe not even a big mouthful. All my life, I've drank slowly, and a bottle of water normally take me like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours to just sip it. But a few years ago, my wife and I prayed, and my wife cast out of my life a demon was attacking my throat. There were different things that were challenging with my throat. It took me a while to notice. I mean, the particular challenges for which she was praying and for which I was praying were immediately resolved. And I was really happy with that. But I had not realized until fairly recently that since then, I can now chug a lug. No, I'm not going to chug a lug beer, but just one prayer to break a demonic attack up in my throat, and I can now chug a lug. I mean, I've never tried to do it. I imagine I could do the whole bottle, but I certainly can do half a bottle. It's just normal to go like this and a bunch of tips in, and it's wonderful to be able to do that It saves a lot of time. So what happened was that in that prayer that my wife and I prayed, we created a new throat. A throat that's now created to function the way God wanted it to function. That there be no taking of a pill that would stick in my throat, which has happened. You know, before I was saved, long before I was saved, okay, after I was born, okay, long before I was saved, I developed a challenge with my throat, a specific challenge. And what would happen would, at a certain time, my throat would kind of seize. There'd be great pain, and I'd feel as if I'm going to suffocate and die. It was not a lot of fun, unless you're into that kind of stuff, okay? And so at this time, I was living in Beverly Hills. I had ample money. I went to a bunch of doctors, two different set of doctors. One was the best doctor I know, who's also a friend of mine. And they ran all different kind of tests, happened over two periods. Every test I could think of. And neither set of doctors could find anything wrong with my throat. But it progressed. I was in Westwood once. That was a long time ago when Westwood was the place to be. And I'm sitting in the picture window of a restaurant on Westwood Boulevard, myself and a date. This is before I met my beautiful wife. So we're sitting there in this window, and they put us in the window. Well, maybe we look kind of cute, I don't know, but we're in the picture window. But the manager made a mistake, because here I'm in the window, and I'm eating, and suddenly this thing attacked my throat. And I'm in the window, and I think I'm going to die. I mean, I'm in terrible pain. I think I'm going to die right here. And the lady I'm with says, "Is there a doctor in the house?" I mean, you've heard that in the movies. "Is there a doctor in the house? Guy, come running over." He's not the doctor. He's the manager. You know what he says? "Get him out of the window. Get him out of the window." He doesn't care if the person's going to die. You just don't want him to die in the window. It's bad advertising. He did not get his investment in the marketing, right? He thought by putting us there, we'd bring in people. Didn't work. Anyway, I didn't die, okay? Yeah. So over the years, I learned, this is before I was born again, I learned to live with it, to adapt to it. I changed, I found if certain things I could do would trigger it and certain things wouldn't. So I changed my style of eating, the speed at which I ate, number of things I changed. I basically solved it myself. And I lived with it for so long that I got born again. I had forgotten all about it. And I lived through all this time, not remembered. Except once in a while, I take a pill and would kind of stick and take a long time to go down. It just took some patience. But then a period of time came, maybe, I forget, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, 4 years ago, where the pill kept sticking longer and longer. When you got a huge pill in your throat and it's stuck, it's not a lot of fun, right? Especially when the devil says, it's going to pop into your windpipe and kill you. Right? So you're sitting there and you can't do anything, and the devil's talking to you. You can't even do affirmations because you can't talk. You're just sitting there listening to this demon tell you, it's going to slip into your windpipe and you're going to die. You're going to die. Right? So anyway, I finally got fed up, started praying about it and so forth. And the Lord led me to do certain things, which I could not have known before I'd taken healing school. Or God taught me about healing school. I did some healing school stuff, called up with my wife, we prayed about it, and we solved the problem. Prayer took maybe an hour, I don't know. And it was all gone. Haven't had a problem since then. And now I can chug-a-lug. Okay? Okay? So praise God. All of that is a process of creating the kind of throat I want. The kind of eating environment I have. And that's today's teaching. It's the prayer of creation. We're in a series called 5 Verses Which Guarantee Success. 5 Verses Guaranteeing Success. Today is part 4. In part 1, we took the 5 verses. Anybody know what the first verse is? Raise your hand if you know the first verse. One person is raising their hand? Okay. You all know what the first verse is. Okay. Can you quote the first verse, anybody? My word. Have faith in God. Yes. Okay. Yes. I know you can quote it. First verse is have faith in God. It's Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And so we took those five verses. Have faith in God. Faith moves mountain. The prayer of faith, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And the next two verses on forgiveness. We took those five verses and we say these five verses guarantee success in any area of your life. And in part one, we looked at them through the prayer of faith. And in part two, we looked at them through the prayer of agreement. We saw that Mark 11:22, the first verse, which in part one we use as have faith in God. In some translation, it says trust God. And trusting is a partnership. So we looked at those five verses through the prayer of agreement. And we see that Jesus took Mark 11:23, which is a spiritual principle. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he say shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. So Jesus declared that. It's a spiritual principle. He declared the spiritual principle. Then he went on to say, therefore I say unto you. He took the spiritual principle, and then he declared for you and me, Mark 11:24. Whatever you and I desire, when we pray, we believe that we receive, and we shall have them. In other words, he's saying, I'm in agreement with you. So when you pray and you desire something, you pray and you believe that you've received it. Right at the point in time when you pray, you believe it's spiritually done because Jesus is agreeing with you, because the Father has said it's true. It's done spiritually. If you believe it's done spiritually, then you shall see it come into physical manifestation. If you continue to believe what you say and not doubt in your heart. So you believe in your heart, it's done when I pray it, you never doubt it. If you never doubt it in your heart, then you act and you speak as if you believe it has been done already at the point in time when you prayed. Classical example is Daniel. Daniel prayed and it took 21 days for the angels to bring the answer. And when they came, they said, Daniel, as soon as you prayed, God sent us. But it took us 21 days to fight through the princes of the ear to get here. 21 days. The 21 days is a time between the amen of the prayer and the there it is of the manifestation. The 21 days, the Bible calls standing in faith. It's a time of warfare, where you are trying to protect what God has given you. And you protect what God has given you by continuing to believe that God has given it to you and by fighting off the demons and devils and evil spirits who are trying to steal what God has given you, such as your health, such as your healing, such as the answer to a specific prayer. And you fight them off with the sword of the Spirit, by doing affirmations, praise and worship, communion, all the things we teach as secondary warfare tools. You remember when the Shunammite woman made a little house for Elijah and he wanted to do something for her because she was so good to this man of God. And he said, this time next year, you'll have a son, for she had no kids. And next year, she had a son. And the son grew up to be a lad working in the fields with his father. Who knows, maybe 8, 10, 12, and he drops down dead. And she protected what God had given her. God had given her the son. The devil is trying to steal, was trying to steal her son. The devil was trying to steal the gift of God, what God had given her. Just as God has given you health, healing, having all your needs met, God has given all this to you already through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's your job to protect it. And the Shunammite woman protected it by never once declaring that her son was dead. She kept saying, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well, until God had the prophet come and pray for her son. And he prayed multiple times, and finally the son came back to life. So the prayer of agreement, looking at the five scriptures to the prayer of agreement. Part three, we looked at the five scriptures through the prayer of authority, that you can declare whatever you desire, you can declare it, and the mountain will move and will come to pass. In the prayer of authority, we look at a translation of Mark 11:22, which says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. So part one is have faith in God. Part two, it's trust God. Part three is have the faith of God. These are all legitimate translations. These are all contained in the meanings of the word. They're just higher and higher levels. You know, we could probably spend eternity taking any scripture of God and just studying it for all the content and meaning in it. So, part three, we said, we're going to look at these five scriptures through the lenses of the prayer of authority. And it says, have the faith of God. God's faith is that he believes that what he says will come to pass. So we need to have that same faith in our heart that whatever we say, we believe will come to pass, because the mountain will move. And when you believe that, then whatever you desire and you pray for, it's a cinch, because you prayed for it, you're going to declare it's done, and you have the faith to believe that what you declare is done, you will see the manifestation. Today, we're going to look at the four scriptures, same four scriptures, from the perspective of the prayer of creation. So we know that God is the creator of all things, and he made us in his image and likeness. They say, an acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Children are supposed to grow up to look and act like their parents. You know, we hope the parents are good examples. That's the whole concept. But children reflect their parents. God is very proud of us. We are made in his image and likeness. He wants us to act the way he does, which is in holiness, which is in faith, and which is in creativity. He wants you and I to understand that we are created in his image, therefore we are creative beings. And because we are creative beings, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Your tongue and my tongue, we have the power to create things and destroy things with our tongue. Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died. My brother, shortly after I got saved, was irritated because his neighbor had a tree hanging over his property, and he wouldn't prune the tree, and all the leaves fell on his property. And one day he says, tree, I curse you in Jesus' name, and the tree shriveled up and died. And he felt so bad. He felt so bad because he did it because he was angry. But death and life are the power of your tongue. Okay? So God wants us to be creators. And he gave us an example in Genesis 1. God created all things in Genesis 1 by speaking them out 10 times. You know, you say, well, he's God. He could have spoken it one time and everything be. But he didn't. He took them one at a time. 10 times he spoke, and 10 times things came to pass. That's how we do things. We create by speaking them out. Now, we need for you to turn to your Bible so you can see it for yourself if you've never seen it before. See, if the mother and father are Japanese, that baby is going to be Japanese. Now, if he's not born in Japan, he may end up speaking English, but he's still Japanese, and he looks Japanese. Am I right? Well, you and I are created in the image and likeness of God. Well, God is above all nationalities, right? God is in the class of one. He's in the God class. There is only one God. But the one God is a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't understand that, but we believe it because the Bible says that's what it is. So God said, let us make man in our own image. You know, the Jews believe in one God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So a friend of mine, when I was ministering to a Jewish man recently, who knew the Bible to some extent, and he, Jewish man, brought up this question of the Trinity and of Jesus. So my friend popped open the Bible and said, look what it says here. Let us make man in our image. That's plural. And the man's mouth fell open. He had read it for years. It never dawned on him. So let us make man in our image. Okay? So we are made in the image of God. Now, when God sent his son, because his word became flesh and Jesus was his only begotten son, his son was a son of God. Son of God is God. Jesus says, I'm God. He is God with the one God in the Trinity, the Godhead. We don't understand that. But if you trace the ancestry of Jesus in Luke, you see the ancestry of Jesus is traced all the way back to Adam. And it says, Adam, who was a son of God. So Adam was a son of God. Jesus is a son of God. We're all born again, son of God. Well, keeping that in mind, look at Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm 82, verse 6. You all found it? Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm 82, verse 6 says, you are all gods and children of the Most High God. You're all gods and children of the Most High God. Now, if you go into almost any Christian church in America, and you get a chance to stand at the podium, and you say, we're children of the Most High God, everybody will say, yeah, 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 and applaud. But if you get up there and say, we're all gods, you probably won't be at the podium very long. It is the same verse. You're all gods. You're created in the image and likeness of God. God is your father. You are a child of God. And God made you to be God over your life and over this earth. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, you don't need to turn there. It's very simple. It says, those who are blinded to the gospel are blinded because of the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 calls Satan the God of this world. If you recall the temptations of Jesus, Satan took him to the top of a mountain and in an instant of time showed him all the kingdoms of the world, showed him everything. Says, all this belongs to me. How did he get it? God gave it to men. Genesis 1, 26 and 28 was all given to men. But he said to Jesus, it all belongs to me. Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus came. To destroy the works of the enemy, to defeat him, and take it all back and give it back to men. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 28, 18, all power in heaven is and on earth has been given to me. He's got it back to give it to you and me. Because we're ambassadors of heaven on earth. Now, if you look at John 10, let's turn to John 10. John 10 is Jesus referring to Psalm 82, verse 6. We pick it up in verse 32. John 10, verse 32. In John 10, verse 32, Jesus answered them saying, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Verse 33. The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. You being a man make yourself God. No, Jesus didn't back off and say, well, I didn't really mean it that way. He added fuel to the fire. He dug further in. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you're gods? Most of your Bibles would probably have a reference to Psalm 82, verse 6. He's quoting Psalm 82, verse 6. They said, we want to kill you because you are saying you're God. And he's saying, is there not written in your word that we are all gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, in other words, the author of Psalms, if he wrote that you're gods and the word of God came to him, and the word of God cannot be broken, the scripture cannot be broken, scripture cannot be in error. The scripture, Jesus saying, the scriptures cannot be in error, and it says you're gods. Then what do you want to stone me for? So, we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made to be gods, little g. There's only one God, the triune God. We're little gods over this world. We have replaced Satan, who is called the God of this earth by 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's not our God. Our God is the Father of Jesus Christ. Our God is Jesus. Our God is the Holy Spirit, the triune God. We are made in His image and likeness, and we are to live like Him. Well, the characteristics of a creator is that He creates. If we're gonna live like Him, then we should recognize that we are gods over our life, gods over our body. We can do anything with our bodies we want. We can do anything with our lives we want. And we can do anything with this world because we have the power and authority. We should imitate our parents. We should be creators. A number of years ago, there was a Category 5 hurricane bearing down on the country of Jamaica. The eye was going to pass right over Kingston, which is the capital of Jamaica. And we prayed here. We prayed a hedge of protection around Jamaica, 50 miles out. We said the hurricane will not go to Jamaica. It cannot cross that hedge of protection. And we declared. And the reports from AP and UPI, if I can recall the two reports, one said that the hurricane bore down on Jamaica and suddenly changed direction. It changed direction like a drunken sailor. Changed direction like a drunken sailor. That's the expression. Like a drunken sailor. And continued that way until it passed the country. Then it resumed its original direction. The other one said, it bore down on Jamaica and suddenly hit an invisible wall. And went around the country and continued its path. That's the power of creativity. Is that the only example? We have so many examples with hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and floods. I mean, we could go on for a really long time. Probably I've forgotten most of them. We create the world we want. Have you seen on TV where a fire sweeps through a neighborhood and everything is burned down, or maybe a tornado? Everything is damaged or burned except maybe one or two houses. It just kind of jumps one or two houses. And they say, why did it jump these one or two houses? Because of prayer. Because of prayer. Many, many years ago, 35 years ago or so, there was a major fire that went through Malibu. And they would not let the people get back into Malibu. I was living in Malibu at that time. Couldn't get back to my home. And I prayed a protection over my home. And all the news report came out saying, in this entire area, every structure is burnt down. Every house is burnt down. That's what they said for about 2 or 3 days. Because it took 2 or 3 days before they let us back in. And I said, every time they said it, I said, nope, except mine. Mine is not burnt down. Mine is not burnt down. Mine is not burnt down. And when I started heading back home, I'm driving and I'm passing burnt out buildings. Everything is burnt out all the way around. And I came around a corner and there was my place, untouched. Actually, there was a cluster that was untouched. Maybe 4 or 5 buildings that weren't touched. The fire went right around on 2 sides. You create your world by understanding you're a son of God and you have authority and dominion over everything that moves up on this world. We just talked about fire, things of nature. I was ministering to a lady many, many years ago, and she didn't really want to learn about the gospel. And so I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity to show her. And one day I was there, and suddenly I heard a screech, so I ran up to her room, the master bedroom, huge house. And she's all excited. The floor by the door, the windows, were covered with ants. And she's beside herself, and she's, "Don't know how this happened, don't know how this happened." I said, "It's not a problem, I'll take care of it." She says, "I'll take care of it. I'm going to go downstairs and get me some spray and spray it all." I said, no, let me show you the power of prayer. And she laughed and she walked off. So I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every ant to leave this room." This is an absolute true story. She went downstairs to get the spray. I don't know how long it took, but it was a matter of minutes. It wasn't instantaneous, a matter of minutes. When she came back up, every single ant was gone from her room. Every single ant was gone. Here's a lady who said the sinner's prayer with gusto. Okay? She also had two demonstrations. Sometime later, we went to the airport. This was also in Jamaica. Went to the airport. And the airport was built near mangrove, which is trees that grow in water. It's almost like a swamp, not far from it. And apparently a phenomenon occurred, which I never knew about, which is periodically, mosquitoes would come out of this thing. I mean, I'm sitting there minding my own business outside, enjoying the air. And suddenly I see at the far end, people, there's a lot of commotion. People are slapping and jumping, and I hear bad words and all kind of stuff. And I see like a black cloud coming towards us. So I looked at her, "What's going on?" She said, "Mosquitoes, mosquitoes." No, you know, everybody's trying to get to some place where it's air conditioned and locked out. So she said, "Let's go to the manager's office. I know the manager of the airport. We can go there." I said, "Why?" She said, "To get away from the mosquitoes." I said, "The mosquitoes aren't going to bother us." She said, "Let me show you the power of God." Well, she's seen it once before. So we prayed. The horde, black horde came down. Let me tell you, this is no exaggeration. There was blood on the walls. There's blood on the chairs. People are slapping mosquitoes all over. I mean, it's an amazing phenomenon. You know, you've seen pictures here of, was it locusts, right? And they come in like a crowd, except this was mosquitoes. And they were all over the place. Not one bit her, not one stung her, not one stung me. We sat there, they passed through and kept going, and we were unstung. The power of your word, the power of creating the life you want. So, that's what creativity is all about. Let's talk about that now in the context of the five scriptures. Mark 11:22-26. Mark 11:22, from the Young's Literal Translation. The Young's Literal Translation. Have faith of God. Have faith of God. What does that mean? Have the faith of God. God has the faith to create whatever he desires with his words. Children of God should also be creative. Creating your world with your words. You can create your world with your words. In fact, not only can you, you do. The only difference is today, for some of you who've never heard it, today you're realizing for the first time that A, it's true, and B, you have a choice. You create your world with your words. Talk about a creative example. We have an ABC here. And there was a special guest speaker coming, and he wanted to give a nice offering to the guest speaker. But he was financially challenged. So what he did was he took a $5 and gave it into the ABC offering, naming his seed. This $5 is to bring a return back so I can give a nice offering to the guest speaker when he comes. So I think about a week or two later, he got $500. It's a 100-fold return, right? So he took the $500 and gave it to the guest speaker. Achieved his goal, but that's also an offering. So about a month or so later, I forget exactly how long, he got $50,000. That's a 10,000-fold return, 100 times 100. Okay? One of the first things I got involved with was my first mentor was a bishop in the Church of God. He had a bunch of churches in Jamaica. And he wanted to send wheelchairs and medical equipment to the hospitals because God had seen somebody in the hospital down there and it was abominable, abominable. People with legs were sitting in boxes. Okay? It was terrible. So he came to me and I said, well, see what we can do. So I called together a bunch of people. We had a Bible study. He spoke, gave his need. We took up an offering, which came to about $500. Okay? And that wasn't that much. But we prayed 100 for return on the money. So 500 times 100 is 50,000. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I thought of a friend of mine who used to be my neighbor in Malibu. And I just felt led to say, Bishop, call my friend and talk to him. So he called my friend. Turned out my friend had just bought a medical supply business and gave Bishop $50,000 worth of wheelchairs. Brand new. So Bishop, knows how to advertise. So he told, he mentioned to some people. He got written up in a small newspaper, actually several small newspapers, which got picked up by a bigger one, and then a bigger one. And before he knew it, people started calling all over. Two airlines, Continental and Western, I don't think Western exists anymore, gave us free transportation to ship it to Jamaica. A hospital called in Sacramento and said, we're closing down, we'll give you all the equipment. I got out of it when we shipped over $1 million US to Jamaica. At that point, it was too much. I just got out of it totally. Okay? All because of a $500 offer. We created our world with our word. God is saying, create a world of blessing. Don't create a world of evil. Look at the state of schools in this country today. By their words, they took prayer out of schools. By their word, they said, God is not welcome in our schools. And how many shootings have we had since then? Look at the terrible things happening in schools. So Mark 11:23. Speak creative words. You have what you say. Abraham created a family when he's 100. He and his wife were beyond the years of having kids. And he kept calling himself the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. Until he had a son. And then that son had another son. Had two sons, one of which was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And then he had 12 sons, giving Abraham 12 great grandsons. And out of that, we have the nations. And every Christian nation has been grafted into that family. He's truly a father of many nations. By the things he said. What did he do? Romans 4 verse 17 says, he called things that be not until they were. You keep calling things that be not until they be. It's the same thing we do when we're walking by sight. If you go outside and you want your dog and you don't see your dog, what do you say? Here, doggy, here, doggy, here, doggy, right? Come here, doggy. Doggy, come here, right? No, if you go outside and your dog is by your foot and you start saying, here, doggy, where are you, doggy, where are you, doggy? Your neighbors are going to wonder what's wrong with you. You don't call things that you have. You call things that you don't have until you have them. But God's people as a whole do the opposite. They call what they have. Not only do they call what they have that they don't want. They say that they're sick, that their back is killing them, that if it falls, when it rains, they get a cold, that when they go in and out the air conditioning, they get sick, that if you breathe on me when you get a flu, you get the flu. Then they go to doctors who, as a high priest, speaks curses of them. He's the high priest of medicine. And people don't want to hear that. They want to go to the doctor for the blessing of the doctor. I bless you and tell you you're healthy. Hey, the Bible told you that a long time ago. Now, God created everything on earth by speaking 10 times. The Hebrews coming out of Egypt did the same thing. In Numbers 14, verse 22, God says, this 10 times have they challenged me and said these things. Every time there was a crisis, They would say, God has brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. And after they did it 10 times, God says, you have what you say. You'll all die off in the wilderness. And they all died off in the wilderness. Same number 10. The same number 10 that God created the world by speaking 10 times, the same way the Hebrews created their destiny in the wilderness by 10 times saying, God has brought us out here to die in the wilderness. James chapter 3 talks about how your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Your tongue creates your life by guiding you into the life that you want the way the bit guides a horse or a rudder guides a ship. Your tongue creates for you the life you want. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, God framed, put into order the entire world by his words. And you and I are to put our life into order by the words of our mouth. We order our life the way we want it by speaking it into being. So create a life that's full of blessings. God has said he'll prosper everything you put your hand to. You need to agree with him and declare it and say it. Mark 11, 24. Take the limit off your prayer requests. Take the limit off your prayer requests. We tend to put God in a box because we think too small. God says, think big. God says, this is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, from the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 3, verse 20, from the Amplified. My nephew went to Rhema Bible College, and he came back for vacation. And he came up to me, and he said to me, Uncle, you know what I learned in Bible College? I said, what? He hadn't graduated yet. He was back in vacation. He said, what? He said, he quoted a scripture. For God so loved the world. He says, you know that, right? I said, yeah. He says, did you ever hear it in the Amplified? I said, no. He said, you want to hear it? I said, yeah. God so loved the world. And he shouted out. After all these years, I still remember. God, he amplified it. Well, that's not what we're doing here. We're amplifying the words, not the volume, okay? So we're going to amplify the meaning of the words. So, Ephesians 3:20 from the Amplified Bible. Now to him who, by the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare. Notice the word dare. All that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. What a mouthful. I don't think you could make any mouthful bigger than that. Look at those words. That you should dare do it. It's infinitely, super abundantly, above the highest dreams. That's what God wants you to do. Think big, speak big, create big. I didn't prophesy over Nicholas because I already have. Okay? It was a big prophecy. And big prophecies generally should be kept quiet for a long time until God says it's time to talk about it. Well, I was just thinking of a prophecy God made about me, which to this day I still haven't talked about it yet. It's been prophesied now 3 times. And I still haven't talked about it. Three different people got the prophecy. I still have not spoken about it. But I did speak of one that was humongous, which is, you're going to lead praise and worship. Who led praise and worship here today? I did. Not the way I expected to, right? See, God's ways are not my ways. When he said lead praise and worship, I thought I must have led in a choir. God had a different idea for praise and worship, right? Amen. So take the limit off your prayers. Have the creative faith of God. Speak creative words. And have big, humongous, creative prayer requests. And some people say, you can't bother God with every small detail. But look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. Well, how can you be anxious for nothing? How can you be at peace in everything. Because in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you can let your request be known unto God. So if you're concerned about something, ask God for the solution. And once you ask God for the solution, you know He will do it. Therefore, you don't need to be worried about it. You and I don't need to be worried about anything. Because God says, give it to me. What we need to focus on is hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Hunger and thirst to be like your Father. Hunger and thirst for the calling on your life. Hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Hunger and thirst to walk, live, and speak the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. God's divine power has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Whatever you need has been paid for. It belongs to you. It's like money in the bank. All you need to do is go withdraw it from your checking account. It's in your bank of heaven. You just need to withdraw it. And the Bible tells you how to withdraw that which belongs to you. His divine power has given us already all things for life and godliness. Ephesians 1 verse 3. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It belongs to you. You take your creative word and you pull down these blessings that belong to you and create a world of blessings for you and around you. God wants you to walk in a world of blessings. And only will come to you as you take your creative word and you pull them and pull down into your world the blessings that God has already given you. You ask God for an image of what your life should look like. Or you get it from the Bible and you picture this image in your head and you speak this image out. And then you pull down the blessings one by one and you populate this image and you make it come to pass. Step by step, you populate the image until your world is what you want. There are many of us here at ABC who declare regularly our life is truly greater and better than we have ever imagined. Just this morning, a man told me that. Way beyond anything. No, he's told me that before, but it's gone up so far in the last few weeks that he's just amazed at how much higher it's gone. God wants you to live in a world that's an Ephesians 3:20 world. Proverbs 15 verse 4. Proverbs 15 verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tongue that speaks wholesome words. A wholesome tongue is a tongue that looses God's grace into your life or the life of the people who are hearing you. Your tongue speaking God's word is a tree of life. That's why God says you can remain until Jesus returns because your tongue is a tree of life. But what must come out of your tongue must be words of life, not words of death. Proverbs 21, 23. Whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And finally, back to Mark 11, 25 and 26, about forgiveness. You are creative. Your job is to pass on nothing but the glory. As you pass on God's glory comes back to you multiplied. As you give away goodness, goodness comes back to you. You are the sanctuary of God. God has chosen to live in you so you can walk around and pass on nothing but His glory. As you do that, it comes back to you. And if you realize your words are creative, why would you ever want to say something evil about somebody? Because when you say something evil about somebody, you're loosening that on them. You're cursing them with your words and loosening evil on them and opening the door for the devil to attack them. Your tongues are creative. Don't create evil for people because the evil you create for people will come back to you. That's kind of selfish. The main thing, don't do it because you're a child of love and you love them. Don't create chains of unforgiveness by binding them up with chains of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is highly correlated with major sicknesses and diseases. You reap what you sow. So minister life, forgiveness, blessings. Loose, create, give the things you want for that come back to you. The devil keep bugging you about somebody. Somebody's been rude to you, bad to you. You forgive them. Next time you bless them. Next time you pray for them. Pray for their family. Hey, you can really say, devil, you bugged me again. I'm going to bind the mercy of God to them. Okay? Bind the mercy of God to them. Create good words for them. So, you have the command from God to subdue the earth with the authority and the power that is given you. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Your calling is to loosen God's kingdom and his righteousness upon the earth by creating a world filled with his blessings. And you start by creating blessings in your own life. You do that by realizing God is a creator and you're his son, you're his daughter. You have the same creative power, the same creative faith that God has. So speak creative words. And in speaking creative words, let them be big words, major words. Let them be Ephesians 3:20 words and concept. For God has said, when you pray, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and I will give them to you. And he will give them to you or something super abundantly, way above anything you really ask for. You get what you ask or something much better. As long as your commitment is not to wallow in the flesh to enjoy it, but to pass on nothing but his glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.